Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, taking you for however long my eyes stay awake. We are certainly burning that midnight oil on this 27th of November 2018. I am certainly happy to be back with you on as we stream live on YouTube. Of course, this podcast will be available sometime tomorrow morning on Blog Talk Radio, or maybe tomorrow afternoon. I hope everybody, of course, as always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram account. Follow me on Instagram at Real Gerald Quinn. Certainly happy to be back with you on YouTube. I know last week we did a program. I did a podcast on Facebook, didn't have access to YouTube last week from where I was located. So good to be back. Hope everybody enjoyed the Thanksgiving. I hope you ate maybe I hope you didn't eat as much as I ate. When you're putting on pounds in basically 3 or 4 days, then you probably be eating too much. So that certainly was the case with me, putting on weight throughout the course of the, from Thursday through Sunday. I was eating Thanksgiving food and couldn't get enough of it. But things, reality, is about to set in once I have to start cooking again and, not ordering out as much, but, reality has certainly set in, will have set in probably sometime later on today or tonight. Later on tonight when I have to make that first meal for the first time in a week. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. Live for the moment. I've been really thinking about as I approach, 40 and, start to slow down, start to think about a lot of things, over the course of my life, really having settling down as far as thinking about these moments and not looking back 5, 10, 20 years and saying, that was a good time, but I had a great time of actually living in that moment and recognizing this is a damn good time. Like, this is special right here. Chilling with your family, or if you have kids, spending time with your kids, or, hanging out with your friends, actually in real time, recognizing how special that is. I was thinking about before Thanksgiving, sometime last week before Thanksgiving, it was probably Tuesday or Wednesday. Maybe it was a train ride, back to Jersey. I was really thinking about the last Christmas I spent with my uncle, 2014, and how special that was, and almost upset. Not so much about the fact that he was gone, but the fact that I didn't recognize how special that time was in real time, and that the fact that it took me a year, 2 years, 3 years, each year that as we approach the anniversary of that, and there'll be 4 years in December in terms of, that last Christmas I was able to spend with him. And, really thinking about that and really been motivating me to honor those moments in real time, not just 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the road. So, just some little food for thought here as we gear it. We are well into the holiday season. It was Cyber Monday, so I hope you didn't spend all your money on Cyber Monday. But a lot to do on this program, and we're going to begin with the National Football League. You saw Houston take care of business tonight, 34-17. Deshaun Watson, again, came into this year as a X-factor in the National Football League, as far as I'm concerned. Like Houston was one of those teams coming into the season that could have went either direction. And you see with Deshaun Watson, and again, I was not high on Deshaun Watson coming out of college. I just wasn't. And despite the fact that I had, watched a million Clemson games, being a Florida State fan, and he has spearheaded Clemson's rise, along with, of course, Dabo Swinney, to being the dominant program that they are right now, began with Watson and what they did in those back-to-back championship games against Alabama, split, winning, going 1-1 in two just classic games. And why he is one of these quarterbacks that you have to look beyond the numbers. You have to look beyond the numbers. You cannot look at his numbers, his raw numbers, and say, and judge him, engage what he actually means to a team. The guy's a winner. He does all the little things. He does all the intangible things that don't show up on a don't show up in a box score. And you can win a championship with that guy under center, without question. And I don't just give that up to any quarterback. Just any quarterback. You can win a championship with that guy. And I'm looking at Houston. They're going to make the playoffs. And I will say this about Houston. That is a team that, minus the Big Four, and we know who the Big Four are in the AFC. That's a team that could do some damage possibly. Now, again, I don't think they can get to a Super Bowl, but they could possibly pick off one of the Big Four. And I'm trying to tell you right now, I would not be the least bit surprised if Houston shocks somebody and gets to an AFC championship. They have two things that that most teams don't have. They have both of them. Have a franchise quarterback and three legitimate for real pass rushers. When you talk about J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, and the guy, the third guy that who I can I can't come to mind, who got injured last year, a couple of years ago when they made the playoffs. Mercilius, he's a third Wigan. He's kind of under the radar because of Clowney and Watt. Merciless, that's his last name, Merciless, who got injured a couple years ago. Got injured a couple years ago. But those three guys, those are three legitimate pass rushers. And when you can get to the quarterback and you have a quarterback who is a franchise caliber, who we know is a franchise caliber quarterback, you're always dangerous. So it's going to be interesting to watch them. Once, and depending on the matchup, they'll be, again, out of all those teams that outside the Big Four, right now, I trust them the most to possibly do some damage. So they take care of business over Tennessee. Also, you have a couple noteworthy things in regards to college and NFL. One, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, to no one's surprise, fired, let go by Jacksonville, along with Blake Bortles being benched. Neither one is a surprise. I don't think either one's a big deal, to be honest with you. We know Jacksonville is a train wreck and has been a disaster since they started out 3-1, which seems like it was 30 years ago. I mean, that team, that team is a prime example of sometimes when you get to when you get close, you see Atlanta hasn't recovered from losing the Super Bowl a couple years ago to New England. And Jacksonville really hasn't recovered losing the AFC Championship to New England again, New England last year, a game that they absolutely should have won. So they are, not so much back at square one, but they'll be looking for a new quarterback next year. And possibly, I wonder if they're going to be looking for another head coach. I could see they got just because I could see them, get rid of Marrone, though. Probably not fair, but the NFL is a unforgiving league. These teams, these owners are impatient. These owners, one bad year can get you, can get you fired. I don't think Marrone will get, I don't think Marrone will get fired, but certainly Jacksonville will have a lot of pressure going on. They'll have a lot of pressure going into 2019. Again, they need a revamping of the offense. quarterback accomplish any, you know, they'll be looking for a new quarterback and just say, and a new offensive coordinator, a new offensive mind come 2019. So you have that going on in regards to the NFL. College football standpoint, and we'll get to the weekend's action. There was a lot going on in the weekend as far as the games goes, but Mac Brown is back in college football. He returns to North Carolina. Now, Mac Brown is not a spring chicken. And I remember as a Florida State fan, the other rivals, Florida State's main rivals, using that against Bobby Bowden, the legendary Bobby Bowden, who had won two national championships, who was, was going to be the on his way to being one of the winningest coaches in college football history. And they used it against him for about a good 4 to 5 years, up until the point to where up until when up until the point to where when Jimbo Fisher took over. So I could definitely see that being the case for teams using that against Mac Brown. You also wonder about these coaches who have been out of football for more than 3 years. Mac Brown's been out of college football for 5 years. I'm not gonna call it, there are some that are calling it an outright laughable hire. I'm not gonna go that far. He does have a national championship. He's had success everywhere he's gone. But the bottom line is he is not a spring chicken. And you're talking about these, talk about recruiting. You're talking about a lot of work that you have to do. And again, you cannot delegate everything. I understand you have offensive, defensive coordinators. I understand you have guys who recruit. I don't, you have to get out. You have to be out there. You have to pound that pavement. Even Roy Williams. Okay, look at the coaches. Look at the coaches in college basketball. Coach K, Roy Williams, Jim Boeheim. Those guys are out there recruiting. It doesn't matter. Those guys are in their mid to late 60s. Coach K is about, Coach K is 70, I believe. It doesn't matter. You have to pound that pavement, and there can be 0 cents that you're too old to do, that you're too old to do the job. That can't be a whiff of that. Or these colleges is these colleges these other these colleges will jump all over you and use that to their, to your disadvantage, and you won't get the recruits. And in football, in college football, and in college basketball as well, especially college football, if you can't recruit, you're dead. So he will not have the same resources he had at North Carolina that he had at Texas, though the ACC is in great shape. It is North Carolina as far as, the pressure to win is not nowhere near, say, Clemson and some of the other schools in the ACC or some of the other schools around the country. But I don't think I would have hired him if I was UNC. I think I would have went with a younger, I think I would have went with somebody definitely younger, up and coming, either mid-major coach or the hot or the hot assistant. Don't think I'm digging in the Mac Brown archives. Again, Mac Brown, respected coach, won a championship, had success, won wherever he was at. But he's the one. This one, I don't think this one's going to end well for UNC, to be honest with you. 25 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Good to be back with you off a Thanksgiving break. Again, we did a podcast on Facebook last week. You can check that out. We posted it. Again, this podcast will be posted on numerous platforms, whether it's Stitcher, Instagram, Facebook, blog, Blogger, couple of, iTunes.apple.com. So we'll be all over the place. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, Real Deal Podcast. Certainly good to be back with you as we go around the league, as we week 12 of the NFL season is in the books, and we are close to the finish line. Still, you have 5 weeks left. Still a lot of football, a lot to be decided. You get a sense of There are basically six spots to me that are absolutely lock and key when it comes to the Rams, the Saints, New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, San Diego. Those six teams are going to the playoffs without question. I can even, toss in Houston into that mix at 8-3. They'll be in the playoffs as well. So you have six or seven teams that are going to be in the playoffs without question. But again, still a lot to be determined as far as the wild cards, a couple of divisions. And we'll begin with the NFC East. We'll go back to last Thursday where you had the Washington football team fall to the Dallas Cowboys 31-23. I'm watching this game, and again, I did not expect Washington to win this game. I knew that was a tough spot, short week, traveling. There's an enormous advantage for the home team, unless you're the Detroit Lions. But for most home teams who play on Thanksgiving, is an enormous advantage that they have during that short trip, during that short week where they don't have to travel. Now again, except if you're the Detroit Lions, who it doesn't matter. Short week, long week, it doesn't matter. They're gonna find a way to lose on Thanksgiving. But I wasn't surprised in the least bit by this result. But the thing that kept popping in my head over the as I'm watching this game was Colt McCoy and how defiant he was after the Houston game in regards to, I guess this was a leadership, this was his leadership angle. This was him trying to, basically say, "I got you guys. We're in good hands, and so have you," and what have you. That kept popping in my head because as he's throwing these picks, as and again, one of the picks was just a great play by DeMarcus Lawrence. The tip pass, that was just an all-pro caliber defensive end making a tremendous play, a pass rusher making a tremendous play, which DeMarcus Lawrence is a great pass rusher. So I was fine with that one. The other two were inexcusable. But if you're Colt McCoy, if you're gonna go out there post game after Houston and be as defiant as he was, you better perform. You better perform. And Colt McCoy showed you why he has been a 9-year career backup quarterback. Now, again, I have no problem. If Colt McCoy is your backup quarterback, you are not in terrible hands. There are a lot worse backup quarterbacks than Colt McCoy. And I'm not saying Colt McCoy is even a bad backup quarterback. I think Colt McCoy is a very good backup quarterback. But again, he is a backup quarterback, and there's a reason why he's been a backup quarterback for 9 years. But I don't even think Colt McCoy was the biggest problem in this game. The biggest problem in this game is Washington could not stop Dallas at all. Even if Colt McCoy had played well, they probably wouldn't have won the game because Dallas did whatever they wanted. Dak Prescott threw the ball all over the place. You made Amari Cooper look like Randy Moss, 1998. Or 2007, pick one, pick one. So, and Amari Cooper is a very good player, but he shouldn't be breaking 90-yard touchdown runs. So the defense was awful. DJ Swearinger called the defense out, and Swearinger was right on, was spot on with everything he said. I agree with everything he said in regards to calling the defense out, in regards to preparation or lack thereof. Which doesn't bode well for if you're Jay Gruden moving forward. So Washington finds itself 6-5, right in the thick of this NFC East race, which is a three horse race with Dallas and Philadelphia. Can they win a division? Sure, they can win a division. Is it likely? Probably not. Probably not. But they will be playing important games in December. I don't think Washington, I don't think they're gonna completely fall off the rails and just crash and burn. I don't think that's gonna happen. But they listen, they're staring at 6-5, they're staring at 8-8. And I don't think 8 wins, despite how poor this division is, I don't think 8 wins is gonna be enough. I think 9 is that I look at what it's gonna take to win this division. I think 9 is a magic number. Now again, Dallas Philadelphia, no one is running away with this division. No one. Because no one is that good. So we'll see what happens. Again, Washington has three divisional games left. They're going to host the Giants. They have two home games against they have a home two home games against the Giants and the Cowboys and excuse me, the Giants and the Eagles. And of course, they will be at Philadelphia Monday night as the Eagles look to even their record. Speaking of the Eagles, they had a season-saving victory, as far as I'm concerned, with their 25 to 22 win over the hapless Giants, who, for whatever reason, Odell Beckham's talking, run the table, and sure, sounds good. It sounds good if it happens, but when it doesn't happen, then no one cares. So, the Giants' season, their season is in the is in the trash can. They'll be looking forward to possibly having a number one draft pick. Giants had every opportunity to win this game. You're up 19-3. The Lincoln Financial Field was dead. No energy, and you let Philadelphia off the mat. They had a late interception. Eli had a late interception. Interception late in the second half. The first, excuse me, late in the first half, second quarter. That really kind of turned things in Philadelphia's favor moving forward. And Philadelphia never looked back as they would go on to outscore the Giants 22 to 3. The Giants 22 to 3 in the second half for the rest of the game. And nice win for Philadelphia. It's a nice win for Philadelphia. They again had to have this win at home in division against a Giant team that that we know stinks. Though Saquon Barkley, probably, him, just, you can make a case of Barkley and Baker Mayfield being co offensive rookie of the years of the year. I think Barkley has been the better player throughout the course of from game one to up until this point. But we know quarterbacks get top billing when it comes to these awards, offensive player of the year, MVP. So big, if Baker Mayfield ends up with 24, 25 touchdowns and 10, 11 interceptions, he'll probably win the award. But Saquon Barkley has been nothing short of spectacular. He's been the Giants' best player by far. He has, think that the guy is going to be a top running back for at least the next 4 or 5 years. So he continues to shine despite how poorly and how terrible the Giants are. So that's one thing they could be looking forward to for 2019. Great win from Seattle over Carolina, 30 to 27. Pete Carroll, you can say what you want about Pete Carroll. I know there was a lot of talk about him losing that team and the culture and kind of falling apart the last couple of years, but he has done a phenomenal job this year and really deserves some serious consideration for Coach of the Year. He won't win it more than likely. That'll probably go to, you can see somebody like Sean Payton, Sean Payton, or even, even maybe Bill O'Brien will be up for that award as well. But he has done Pete Carroll's done a tremendous job. That team, that is not a big time team. I mean, they have, again, Russell Wilson's a franchise quarterback. They rebuilt that running game. They defensively have, are not nowhere near where they once were. They're not even close to what they once what they were with the Legion of Boom and those teams that went to back-to-back Super Bowls. But they find a way. They won. That is a great win on the road against a pretty good Carolina team. And Seattle, at 6-5, finds himself right in the thick of the wild card race. Of course, we know they're not going to win a division, but they're going to be right in the thick of that wild card race. And again, 30 to 27, as Carolina. So Carolina does Washington a favor, as Washington now will is finds himself at the with the sixth and final playoff spot as of right now. Again, lot could change between now and the end of the season. But nice win for not nice win, a great win for Seattle. For Seattle, Green Bay falls to Minnesota 24-17. Now Green Bay is done. I mean, completely done. as far as making the playoffs. That this team is not making the playoffs. This team, again, I know Aaron Rodgers gave you the basically, gave you the run the table. That, that sounded nice 3 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it happened. I think it was like 3 years ago. It's not gonna happen this year. That team is something. There's something amiss with that team. A team we already know about the offense and how archaic it is, and we know that Mike McCarthy will be gone after this year. I'd be surprised if he wasn't. But that team is just, it's just not that, certain years, with certain teams, you just see something missing. We don't know if it's, whether it be something, a locker room issue. Hard to pinpoint Green Bay's. All of Green Bay's problems. We know what it is offensively, but they, again, they they can't defensively. They just barely average defensively. They allowed Kirk Cousins to throw the ball all over the place. Kirk Cousins could wish he could play Green Bay every night, every day, and 3 times on Sunday because he's absolutely owned Green Bay this season, and big game out of him. Again, you watch Green Bay play, and the only thing you think about is how many is the fact that they are just absolutely wasting Aaron Rodgers. Now, Aaron Rodgers missed a touchdown that I thought was one of the biggest plays of the game. You have to connect on that if you're Aaron Rodgers. If you're a competent NFL quarterback, you have to connect on that pass. That was not a difficult pass to Adams in the corner of the end zone that would have made it 24-21. But regardless of that, this is to me is on Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy, his offense is just, it's just not taking advantage of having, one of the most gifted passers, gifted players to ever play the quarterback position, and that's what Aaron Rodgers is. And again, McCarthy, 13 years is a long time with one franchise. Bill Parcells always had the, old adage that 10 years probably was enough. So when you start getting beyond that, to me, you're on borrowed time. And, you're on borrowed time after that 10-year mark. And I would say in any sport, especially now in 2018. Denver probably gets the most impressive victory win of the weekend, 24-17 over Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh shot themselves in the foot with the 4 turnovers. Despite putting up well over 500 yards of total offense, 527 to be exact, Denver turned Pittsburgh over 4 times while committing no turnovers, and that's what and they absolutely had to have that type of performance. Otherwise, Pittsburgh would have blown them out of the building. Give Denver a lot of credit. Denver has really played well over the last course of the last month, despite only being 5-6. They took San Diego, they take out San Diego. They played the Rams and Kansas City, toe to toe, and now they take out a hot Pittsburgh team that had won 6 in a row. It's a tough loss for Pittsburgh if you're trying to get a home field. So I mean, it's a difficult loss and a lot. Pittsburgh now is in a position where they're gonna have to win that San Diego game to have any chance of getting a home field. Because to me, I'm telling you right now, you're gonna have 3 teams, 4 teams fighting for that lad for that second home field second spot, whether it be a number one seed or number two seed. New England is getting one of the top 2 seeds. You can take that to the bank. They already have a tiebreaker over Kansas City. Their schedule is gonna get easier. Their schedule is kind of soft going down the stretch for the most part. Kansas City still has San Diego, and yeah, Pittsburgh's schedule is brutal down the stretch. San Diego, we know, has a tough schedule down the stretch. Has Pittsburgh next week, and then they have they still have a game with Kansas City, and still have another game with Denver. So San Diego's schedule is brutal as well. So New England's going to get one of those top 2 seeds. The question is, who will join them in terms of having a bye week, whether it be Pittsburgh, Kansas City, San Diego, or maybe even Houston. Who knows? But the AFC has become deeper than the NFC as far as amount of quality teams and amount of team in terms of teams that can possibly get to the Super Bowl. I think, going to this season, I would have told you that the NFC would have had double the amount of teams that could get to the Super Bowl as in comparison to the AFC. That's completely flipped. Right now, the AFC is a two-horse race. It is the Saints and Rams conference to lose. While, AFC, you have San Diego, Kansas City, San Diego, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, New England. Any one of those four teams gets to a Super Bowl, I would not be in the least bit surprised. Any one of those four teams. Anyone outside of the Rams or outside the Saints that gets to the Super Bowl, I'll be shocked, to say the least. So that has been the biggest difference. The biggest shocker to me, one of the biggest story shockers, shocker in terms of the story of the NFL seasons, as far as how these conferences have flipped. A couple other notes. Good to see Andrew Luck playing like Andrew Luck. We know that coming out of college that this guy was the best quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning. He, is the is somebody who won early in his career, had a lot of success, but due to ineptitude of ownership and not and having to basically do everything early on in his career, had some injuries, and right now he's playing as well as he's ever played over the course of his career. 32 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 8 straight games with 3 or more touchdown passes. Has Indianapolis right in the thick of the playoff race at 6-5. They won 5 straight. And again, good to see him playing at a high level. He is a, again, he is a, he has all-time great talent, without question. Also, Lamar Jackson. We've seen this movie before with the running quarterback. I don't get, I. When you watch Lamar Jackson, watch him inside the pocket. I don't care how many long runs he has. I don't care how many yards he rushes for. If you're going to gauge Lamar Jackson, you have to watch him inside the pocket. That's how you gauge Lamar Jackson on whether or not he can be a legit starting quarterback. Forget about franchise quarterback, but a legit starting NFL quarterback. We're going over the playoff race. Again, a lot to be decided. Over the course of the next 5 weeks, a big Thursday night game with the Saints, with the Saints and Cowboys. We'll see if the Cowboys can slow down the Saint Express. And certainly, if you're Washington, Philadelphia, you are going to be a Saints fan on come Thursday. Of course, we already mentioned next week's showdown with I shouldn't even call it a showdown because those who NFC East showdown, so to speak, with Philadelphia and Washington. We'll see if Washington can pick up the pieces after back-to-back losses. In regards to the college football, you had a couple one major thing that happened was what Ohio State did to Michigan. Michigan, if there was ever a year that Michigan and Jim Harbaugh was going to beat Urban Meyer, it was this year. I was a you know, that is a devastating loss for the Michigan program. Devastating. Michigan came into that game playing great defense. The quarterback, Harbaugh loves the quarterback. I'm not big on Shea Patterson. I guess because I look at quarterbacks in college as as try to project what they can do or what they will do at the pro level, but I don't even like him as a college quarterback, to be honest with you. That Michigan defense got ripped apart by Ohio State. We know how talented Ohio State is, and let's just be honest. Urban Meyer took Jim Harbaugh behind the woodshed, and I have a lot of respect for Jim Harbaugh as a pro coach. He's won everywhere he's been, from San Diego to Stanford to what he did in San Francisco, which was a minor miracle considering where that franchise was. But look at what he's done or hasn't done at Michigan, and If it wasn't Jim Harbaugh, a lot of these coaches at Michigan would be fired for losing 4 straight years to Ohio State. And when you go to Michigan, you are gauged by two things: Ohio State beating Ohio State, winning Rose Bowls. Those are the two things that they care about at Michigan. And I don't understand how a guy who went to a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick, won playoff games with Alex Smith, cannot recruit top-notch offensive talent. I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. Because it's not even about scheme. Scheme, like, Michigan can get the kind of talent to where you can line up players and it's like, we'll take our guys over your guys. They can get that level of player. They're Michigan. So he's had, this is year four. These are his recruits. There's no more blaming Brady Hoke, the previous regime. These are his players, period. These are his players. And again, that is a, that I can't overstate how brutal of a loss that is. That's a devastating loss for that program. With that being said, Ohio State still needs a lot of, still needs some help from Georgia if they want to make the playoffs. Excuse me, from Alabama. Excuse me, from Alabama. You want Georgia. If Alabama takes out Georgia, Georgia's done. Clemson, Notre Dame are locks. Alabama is a lock. So you have basically that four spot is going to come down to either Georgia or Ohio State. So there's a scenario where Alabama takes out Georgia, Ohio State, you know, destroys Northwestern. Ohio State probably would jump Oklahoma, and because of the pedigree, Ohio State's won a championship. Oklahoma's has come up small in these playoff games. It's Urban Meyer. Ohio State's hot right now, and they're playing in Oklahoma. We know Oklahoma and Big 12 teams, Big 12, those Big 12 teams don't play any defense. So they would take Ohio State if Georgia, if Alabama takes Georgia out again. And I've been saying this, and I will continue to say this until the season's over. Alabama, a one-loss Alabama team will make the playoffs. You can take that. That is a stone cold of a lock that that there can be in college football. So Alabama, if you again, if you're Ohio State, you need Alabama to take Georgia out. Period. And there's no, again, there's no question that you need Alabama, yes, you need Alabama to take Georgia out. So that would leave you with, again, Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, and probably Ohio State. Georgia would be eliminated. Again, Oklahoma. I think Ohio State would jump Oklahoma. That's my opinion. And no other team is a factor. UCF, they never were a factor, especially now that they lost a quarterback who suffered a knee injury. But even with that, they were not going to be they were not going to be a factor. I'm looking forward to the SEC championship because I think Georgia has a legit chance against Alabama. I don't think it's going to happen, but I think they have a legit chance against Alabama. Got a chance to see Creed too. Again, it's hard with the it's hard with sequels, but and especially with this, when you're trying to tie in a story from 33 years ago in terms of Rocky IV. But I thought that they did a phenomenal job with it. Overall, I had no major issues with the movie. It didn't drag. It was the story, the side story that with the Ivan Drago storyline was was tremendous. I thought they did an excellent job with that. And you have a situation now. Creed 3, they're gonna make two or three, two or more, two at least two more, at least two more of these. But you have a situation now that you can start focus. You're gonna focus in on his family. You're gonna focus in on. It'll be very interesting what who his next opponent will be. I think it should be his brother. There has to be a, Apollo had to have some another son somewhere. So I think that's my opinion. It should be his brother. But I think I love the Ivan Drago storyline and how, because that, remember, that story was never touched in Rocky Five or Rocky Balboa, or even forget about Creed. Creed One was, was gonna be about Apollo and Adonis and Rocky. So, but that, what happened to Ivan Drago? And again, probably at the end of Rocky Four, you probably didn't care, but I think that, again, I think that was some clever story, some clever writing to kind of give you a sense of what, of how far he fell, and he was basically a disgrace to his country, and somewhat had, at the end, I don't want to spoil the end, but he kind of redeemed himself at the end of the movie. But again, I strongly recommend it. It's already killing at the box office, 55 million. I expect it will, without question, exceed the first Creed. And again, they'll put in the next 2 years. What did I say? In two, I'll say 2 to 3 years, they'll make another one. This one, this franchise isn't going anywhere. They will be pumping these out like Fast and the Furious. To be honest with you, I can see them making three, maybe even three or four more, depending on how three goes, the next one goes. But again, I certainly recommend it. I recommend it. Probably one of the top five movies I've seen all year. Seen a lot of good movies this year, but that probably crack. It definitely cracks my top five. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Thanks for joining me. Again, this podcast will be available Blog Talk Radio later on today. Later on today, as always, this is the Real Deal Podcast with no apologies. Thanks for listening.